Guys are going to come and become our new elders forward just now. And so if you want to do that, let's welcome them. So we have Heather and Dave and Ian and Rebecca. Woo-hoo! Yes, here they are. Woo-hoo! Lovely, lovely, lovely. So why? Yeah, that's a good question. Why? So why did we agree to do this? Year by year, as the kind of church moves on and grows, we recognize that actually we go through different seasons. And so we're in a new season. We're moving into a new season. And so we really kind of felt it was time to invite these guys to come and to help to serve the church. And that's what leadership is. That's what we're asking them to do, we're asking them to serve, to get underneath and to lift us all up and to encourage us, to equip us, to strengthen us. And they said yes to doing that. So, well, they did before. They may change their mind. I'm not sure. But that's why they've kind of done it. And also, I suppose, to a certain extent, they are stepping into a position which we actually already recognize, don't we? We can see that you are godly people that we recognize as people with spiritual authority. We know that. We recognize that. That's actually what we're doing. You know, we're kind of going, yeah, if we're picking people, these would be the guy. You know, we know that. We see that in you, and we recognize that. And so as we come to this moment where we're asking you to commit yourself to serving the church in this way, we want you to know that actually that we do so because we have seen something in you for many, many years. It's not just sort of like, you know, been in the last kind of few weeks or months or whatever that we've sort of seen you. Many of us have known you for a very long time, and we have seen your faithfulness and service. And it's actually because we can trust you, because of what you have done, and because of the way that you have led in the past, that we now trust you with this new responsibility of serving as being elders in this church. So we want you to know that. We want you to understand that, and we want you to we recognize you. And therefore, we're happy to make this decision to step up and to invite you to lead in this particular way. So bless you. And in the true White Inch fashion, Rebecca's going to join the church as well. Before she can become an elder, she needs to join. That's a rule, apparently. So, Rebecca, here's some questions for you. Okay. Rebecca, they're important questions, just hold on. Here we go. So, Rebecca, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? Yeah, that's good. That's tick. Okay, by the grace of God, do you promise to join regularly with your fellow Christians in worship? Do you promise by God's grace to be faithful in reading the Bible and in prayer? By that same grace, do you promise to give a fitting proportion of your time, talents, and money for the church's work in the world? And do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to profess publicly your loyalty to Jesus Christ, to serve him in your daily work, and to walk in his ways all the days of your life? Well, yes, indeed. May God, the God of grace, bless you and give you all that you need to be able to do to fulfill these promises that you've made now in front of everyone. Amen. Welcome, yes. Welcome to church. Okay. In the Church of Scotland, we have a long thing that we have to read, which always seems a bit silly, but actually listen to it because there's some bits of it that are just brilliant, absolutely amazing. So this is the stuff around the ordination of the elders. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the Head of the Church, who, having ascended on high, has given gifts to God's people for the edification of the body of Christ, we are met here as a Kirk session. Well, not all of you, some of us, but you can join in. We are met here as a Kirk session to ordain Rebecca Radcliffe, Heather Thorpe, Ian Hutchison, and Dave Mackay to admit them now into the eldership of this congregation. In this act of ordination and admission, the Church of Scotland is part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirm anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all people, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, the renewal of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life, and calls them to labor in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith and recognizes liberty of opinion on all such matters that do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right independence and the promises of guidance of the Holy Spirit to formulate, interpret, and modify the subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession, to which the Church shall be sole judge. I always think, I read that every time, and I kind of go, that was written by a lawyer. And there's no, that last bit obviously was a lawyer. Anyway, here's us, back into the important things. In view of this declaration, you are now required to answer this question. Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of the... Oh, bless you. Do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, governance, and discipline thereof, and to take due part in the administration of its affairs? Yeah, you had to think about that. Yeah, it's good. Quite right, too. I would think about that, too. Okay. And so I now need a pen. Where did I put my pen? I put my pen over here. Put your pen over here. There we go. So they're required to actually sign a thing. So if you want to kind of come over here, it says, I'll read what it says. It says, I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the confession of this faith. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this church to be in agreement with the Word of God. It doesn't say it's the only form, but anyway, that's in agreement with. And I promise that I will submit thereto and concur thereof. Wow, again, the lawyers got in there. I promise to observe the order of worship and administration of public ordinances as the same and allowed in the church. So that's what you're signing. There you go. Come and sign. And then we can admit you into eldership. There you go. You just sign in a line and date it. That's great. It's the 20... What do you... As long as they all say the same thing. We'll just say... It's too late now. Thank you. Thanks. So, I now declare that you have been ordained to the office of eldership, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, I admit you into this office in this congregation. And we're going to pray for you now. So why don't you come in the middle, and anyone that wants to come, and that might be all of us, but you know, I'm okay about that. Why don't you stand in the middle, and anyone that wants to come and pray, we've got a microphone, and you can share, you can pray. So it's fine if you, okay, that's fine. Let's all just kind of get close. Let's lay your hands on them, pray for them. Yeah. Oops. Okay. Come on then, it's fine. Yeah.
So Father, we thank you for these wonderful sons and daughters of yours, for Dave, for Ian, for Rebecca, for Heather. May they know an increase of the measure of the power of the Holy Spirit upon them today. May they know that wisdom from above and that revelation of the person of Christ, of the purposes of God, in greater measure as they step into this new role here in this church. May they be ones who lead your people into the deeper things of God and who have the joy of leading many others into a saving knowledge of Jesus. We stir up the gift within you today, in each of you. We stir up the wonderful gifts that God has given you, but we stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit in each of you, that you would rise up into even greater things, and that you would be blessed to be such a blessing among this community of faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.
First Peter 1 says, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" Father God, I thank you for these people here this morning. I thank you for the call that you've placed in their lives and for the fact that they have been obedient to answer that call. And Lord, I just pray for an increase for them this morning, an increase in your spirit, an increase in your revelation. An increase in unity as we pull together.
Yes.
Lord, and for an increase of your love over these people, which then spills out into this church. And Lord, this isn't just about a day for us as a church. This is about the kingdom and your kingdom business. Lord, and I thank you for what you are doing and for what you're going to do through the guys that you have called this morning. So would you bless them this morning, we pray. Amen. Father, we bless these guys as they step into leadership in this place today. Father, I pray that you would release your courage to them, that you would release your creativity to them. Father, that you would increase the passion that they already have for you, that would bubble up and bubble out of them, and that everybody who's round about them would be touched by that. God, will you let your kingdom come in this place, and will you let them see the part that that you have for them to play in that, in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that they are ones who know you, that they listen for your voice, Lord, that they are led by you, Lord, in your spirit, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that they are kingdom people, Lord. And Lord, that they're going to establish, Lord, more and more of your kingdom here within their lives, Lord, and within this church, Lord God, and this family here. And so we bless you. We bless you. And we pray that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has indeed blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, would be upon you and within you, and that you would burst forth, an authority and power and life. And as you take right now this position of eldership within this church, and you take the authority that is instilled upon that, we thank you, Lord, that authority comes from you. So thank you, Lord God, that they are going to be ones, Lord, who are going to lead, Lord, in love and lead in power and lead by your spirit, Lord, and lead by your name, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. We rejoice, Lord. We rejoice this morning, Lord, for those, Lord, that you've called and set apart, Lord, for the eldership within this family, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, and so, Lord God, we now ordain them. We set them aside. We anoint them to do all that you've called them to. Release a new level of anointing upon them, we pray. Release, Lord God, everything that they need now. Everything that you have wanted to just activate in them, Lord God, we activate and breathe over, we blow over. Let the Spirit of God blow over these things which have been there for years and years and years, and let them, like the spark, Lord God, with that wind, let it come to fire, Lord God, let it come to flame, Lord God, let it can be consuming, a consuming fire that burns within them, Lord. Let them be burning ones, so that, Lord God, that they would be everything that you have called them to be, that day by day, that they would not wait on anyone else, that they would not expect to anybody else to kind of push them forward into your presence, but instead they would be the ones who would be charging forward into your presence. And in your presence, Lord, from your presence, Lord God, reveal to them the heart of God, reveal to them the mysteries of God, reveal to them the strategies of heaven, Lord God, reveal to them, Lord God, the resources, reveal to them the ways that they are to move forward. Give to them, Lord God, everything that they're going to need out of the presence. Out of the presence, Lord God. Out of the presence of God. That they would know that it is out of the presence that they will get all that is required. And so, Lord God, let the fire that is within them burst into greater flame now, Lord God. We ask that you would do this because we know that we cannot do this on our own. We cannot lead without you, Lord God. And so we pray, Lord, we lay ourselves on the altar altar before you and we say, send the fire, Lord. Send the fire. Lord God, we give ourselves to you and we say, send the fire. It cannot be because of us. It must be because you do it. So, Lord, would you do that with these precious ones now? And would you, as they do that, Lord, let it be. Let their act be an act of sacrifice, a willing sacrifice, which becomes acceptable to you and causes that sweet fragrance to rise before you and bring glory to your name. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would do this now. We bless them now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Thank you, and bless you, and welcome. Okay. Good. Oh, hello. Yes.
I know you want us to do that song.
No, you can do it. I think we can do it at the end. Okay. I want to do it at the end. Okay. We'll do it at the end. Yeah. We'll do it at the end. You can. Oh, you need that bit. Yes, you do. That's right. Thank you. Yep. Good. Okay. If I can have a thing, that would be helpful. Right. There you go. Sorry, I'm going to move your music so I don't get it confused. Right. Well. Let's pray. Lord, we're just so we're so grateful for these guys being willing to serve. We just thank you for them now. We thank you that we recognize them and their leadership. And we want to pray, Lord, that you just help us to flow together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We want to pray that today you would help us to attune ourselves to your word, that as I speak, Lord, that you would help us to hear you speaking. And Father, I pray that in the midst of all of that, you would be glorified. For I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, I want to just start by passing on some important information, and that is that after quite a period of time, Diane and I feel it's now time for us to move on from White Inch. We've been praying about it for quite a number of months now, and we've been thinking about what we're supposed to do, and we wanted to kind of share with you just some of the process by which we've kind of come to that point, but we do feel that the Lord has been leading us very clearly now, and we want you to know that, first of all, that we're not going to another church. In fact, we're not going to another job. We're just laying down what God's given us and making ourselves available for the wider work of the church in Scotland, and especially to help to mobilize, we believe, that new missionary movement that is there. We plan to stand down at the end of August, and at that point, White Inch will start looking for a new minister rather than a congregational leader. But for those of you who've been working so hard on that and the parish profile and all the rest of it, do not worry, because now you get to use it to find a new minister. All of that stuff is actually going to be useful as we move on. Nothing will be lost. As many of you are aware, we came to the 25th anniversary of being a minister here last November. Some of you know that. And to be honest with you, that was really as a result of God sort of saying to me for a long time, stay, dig deep. You know, and there was a whole thing about dig a deep well and allow God to actually kind of bless that and allow God to kind of, you know, to make that something which actually had life within it. And so for me, I have to say that I've never had any sense at all that, well, to be honest with you, there's never been any church that's ever wanted me to go anywhere else. I'll be absolutely honest with you. And maybe that's why I'm not going to another church. No. No, I suppose I listen to my pals who have kind of moved over the years, and I listen to them, and I just think, there's nowhere that would be better than here. Genuinely, that's my heart's, that's the truth, that's absolutely true. You know, where would I go? You know, I mean, I couldn't go anywhere, and kind of like, there would be no kind of like sense of like, I'm going to upgrade myself from here to somewhere else. I don't believe that. I just don't. I genuinely have never had that sense in my heart. And it's been, you know, and for that reason, it's always been that sort of sense of dig deep and just stay. And that's been fine. It's been absolutely great. And I've loved that. And although we've had some sort of, you know, we've been changing and trying different things and doing other things over the last few years, even then, to be honest, I kind of sense that God was sort of saying, no, just dig deep, dig deep, dig deep. And so it was quite a surprise when I went on holiday at Christmas time. And I was quite annoyed, actually. A guy who had been writing a report on church planting and pioneering in the Church of Scotland decided that he was going to send it to me on the 23rd of December and asked me to comment on it by the 3rd of January. And I was going on holiday, like, at Christmas time, and it was like, thank you. So I took it with me, rather annoyed, and read this thing. It was one of these things I thought, church planting is quite important. I really should. If this guy writes a rubbish report and I didn't do something about it, I will be annoyed. So I read the report, and in the report there was a national church planting coordinator's role that was described. And for about 2 days on holiday, I utterly freaked, because it was the first time I'd actually read a job description where I thought, oh, that's actually my heart. That's actually the thing that I would do that. And oh my goodness, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. To the extent that I was like waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning going, oh my goodness, no, not a Church of Scotland job, please, not a Church of Scotland job. Anyway, after a couple of days of all that kind of stuff, what I realized was that actually, first of all, it was a very tentative idea of a job in a report that hadn't been agreed, didn't have a budget, and wasn't actually passed anybody. And even, you know, so it was like, so after a couple of days, I just kind of sort of said to Diane, I'm just being stupid here, am I? And she said, uh-huh. And I kind of went, and I laid it down, and I went, right, okay, back, focus, pay attention. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And so that was fine. So I kind of came home, and and then had a really strange encounter with Dave, our Dave. And just to let you know, Dave wanted me to make sure that you understood David and Pina are not leaving. They're staying. They were quite clear about that. They wanted me to tell you that. Okay. Dave and I, though, had this encounter in our car as I was driving up. And we usually talk to the boys as we go along. We don't kind of hold things from them, even if we're not sure what's happening. We talk to them and process things with them. And so I was kind of going, oh, Dave, we went on holiday, read the report, freaked me out. But it's okay. I've laid it all down. So Dave, the bold Dave, responds by saying, well, Dad, I think that you should leave White Inch. And I think it's time. And I think it's time for you. And I think it's time for the church. At which point I said, well, thank you, Dave, but I'd already decided to stay. Thank you. Anyway, so he went, oh, well, whatever, got out of the car, and that was it. But it was an interesting moment, and we were like, nah, this isn't a real thing, so just focus, pay attention. Then we went to, I went to GPC, to the Glasgow Prophetic Centre, around about February time, because I kind of, and it wasn't because I was unsettled, it was just, I kind of thought, I want to nail this thing, I'm going to go to them, I'm going to have in my head the questions, am I supposed to stay in White Inch, and they're going to say yes, and that's going to be the end of it. That's basically what I had in my head. And if this stupid thing about the Church of Scotland comes up, they're going to say no, and so I don't have to do that. That's genuinely, those were the two questions in my head. That was genuinely my attitude as I walked in. And I went in and I said, oh, hello. And then they said, oh, hello, what do you want? And I said, for you to prophesy, go. Didn't tell them anything. So that was it. At which point, Emma Stark said, as soon as you emailed me, I asked the Lord the question, is Alan's time in White Inch finished? And she said, the Lord said, yes. And I'm going, oh, okay. This is going to be a little more tricky telling Diane about. Okay, right. That's what was going through my head. Anyway. And then later on, she rolled on into, And as far as your denomination is concerned, you are not responsible for sorting out or rescuing your denomination. Yes. Which I took as a don't have to take the job. So that's fine. So, but then she went on to sort of say, not only is your time at White Inch finished, but actually it's time for you to actually step into kind of like basically a ministry, which is not a job at the moment, where you need to raise your own support, cast your own vision, raise your own support, and you should go off and do that. So again, came back and said, I am. Well, you know that house that we've been staying in for the last 21 years and the pension and the all that stuff? Well, they're saying lay that down and go and be a missionary, basically. And at that point, I think we were both a bit freaked, to be honest. But as you do with good prophecy, all prophecy, you do not accept it as the word of the Lord. That's not how this works. You test it, you lay it down, and you kind of go, God, if this is you, you need to show, you need to clarify, you need to help me to understand. Even if Emma Stark says it, that does not mean that that's the word of the Lord, okay? You have to test these things. So we both were kind of going, right, okay, well, we have no way of supporting ourselves to do that. That doesn't make any sense to us. So we kind of said, right, well, we're going to lay that all down. Lord, if this is you, you have to make a way. Left it at that. Now, the next part of the story, I suppose, was when at the end of March, I'm part of Cairn, which is the kind of the Scottish network of churches that basically resources mission and discipleship. And Carl Martin had been involved in that, has been involved in setting that up. And he came to the end of his sabbatical at the end of March, and he came to a meeting with the three of us who are actually involved in running the ministry. So I do all the kind of church planting stuff. A guy called Rich Robinson does all of the church transition stuff, and Kay Cathcart had been doing all of the leadership development stuff. So basically, we're the ones that would kind of do things. And sorry, that sounds really rude, but yeah, we were the ones that really do things. And he kind of came in and went, I'm stepping down now. And he left the meeting. And the trustees were there, and they sort of said, so, what do you want to do? Because we're not, the trustees aren't frontline ministry people. They sort of said, you know, we don't have any kind of sense of what we're supposed to do. What you need to tell us, we can close the charity down, or alternatively, we can do something else. And so each of us went away. So Rich and Kay and I went away and thought about it. Kay made the decision that she wanted to finish with Cairn, and she's actually got the job as a Church of Scotland minister's trainer, which is a fascinating job, considering everything we were talking about. Anyway, so Kay's gone off to do something else. But Rich and I came back, and Rich basically said, I want to do some stuff around leadership development and actually encouraging everybody into ministry. And I want to do some stuff around building social entrepreneurs. So I think called CREO. But within about 25 minutes of me being home and sort of like sitting at my computer, I'd actually written a page and a half, which were basically sort of saying, if you were giving me free range, then I would actually love to set up a center of church planting and mission. I'd love to actually move. Because over the last week, what I've realized is most of the kind of stuff I've done is actually just ground level. It's actually kind of like, it's us doing our thing. It's kind of Rakesi, it's Ford, it's all that. And it's grassroots up. And that's been really, really good and really important. But what's missing is somebody to stand and to say, we need to change the agenda of the church. We need to stop doing business as usual. We need to have courage and actually step into being a missionary movement in Scotland again. That's actually what is required. And I suppose in a sense, that's really what I'm wanting to do. That's what I feel I'm supposed to do. And so I kind of pitched this thing as the Rich, we both went forward, and the trustees have been thinking about it. And a few weeks ago, they basically came back and they said, yes, we think you should do that. Alongside Forge and all the other things and, you know, whatever you're going to do. Yes, we think you should do that. And so they've said, we'll give you 3 days' worth of support for a year, and we'll give you some money to actually start the Centre of Church Planting and Mission. And Rich also got some support and various things. And again, it was one of those coming home to Diane and sort of saying, well, Diane, you know when we said we'd just let God make a way and da-da-da-da-da? Well, I think he's called our bluff. So I think actually that's really kind of what happened. We got to the stage where we kind of felt, yeah, that's right. We need to do this. And so I think probably the last part of the kind of the journey for me has been, I've been hanging out with the guys from Iris Ministries for the last sort of 40 days or so, both in Israel and then here in Glasgow and in Scotland. But it was actually the time that we went into down to the borders that really kind of struck me. Something really struck me about that. The southwest, not the borders. Southwest, Wigtonshire.
Galloway.
So sorry. Anyway, when we went away for that weekend, what really kind of struck me was we went and visited a church in Castle Douglas, an Elam church in Castle Douglas that was trying to plant a church in Kukupri, which is just down the road from them. And what they were sort of saying to me was, they were sort of saying, oh, you know, it's been so hard. You know, we just can't get this to go. We'd love some support, but we can't get any support. And in my head, I'm kind of thinking, in Africa, the Iris Ministries model is they send out missionary teams to create breakthrough movement and momentum. That's actually how they plant churches all over Africa. And I'm kind of going, I'm listening to this guy struggling to actually get something going in Kukupri and thinking, what they really need are people who will just come alongside them to create breakthrough, to create momentum, to create that sort of sense of like, we are going to come alongside and work with you for a while to actually get this thing going. And once it's going, you're going to then be able to kind of send others out into other places. And the movement, the genuine movement will actually happen as a result of, you know, stepping into that kind of, you can call them different things, breakthrough teams, missionary teams, apostolic teams, whatever you want to call them. They're about creating movement. And so this, I suppose, would be, for me, the kind of, this would be really, for me, the kind of the four parts of what I think God is calling me to. The one is the local. Rakesi isn't ready to be handed on yet. It will be ready soon, but it's not ready yet. So I'm going to continue there with that team for a wee while anyway. And then we're going to look for other opportunities to plant in Glasgow, because we're staying in Glasgow, because Glasgow's best and we're not going anywhere else. So that's the important thing to say. There'll be a local thing that we'll do, and part of that will actually be to continue to connect with White Inch Transformation, which is both local and translocal in the way that it does what it does. So I'll continue to do that. And there'll be a few changes with White Inch Transformation. It's about to be rebranded as I-61 Scotland. So I-61 is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to bring all of these amazing bits of transformation. So we're moving towards a sort of a rebranding, but I'll continue to be involved in that part of it and in the Rakesi thing. So there'll be local things. And then the sort of the second area of stuff will really be around continuing to do Forge, the training, coaching, teaching. So that's helping raise up the next generation, actually kind of doing that. That's the second thing. Third thing is the strategic leadership thing around the center of church planting and mission. And that's about advocacy, it's about research, it's about changing the agenda in the big, you know, conversations in the church and sort of saying business as usual is not okay. We need to actually create a different kind of pattern. And then the fourth thing is really this kind of breakthrough team stuff, mobile teams going around to help to see that thing happening. So that's the story, I suppose. That's kind of where we're at. And our intention is to what we wanted to share it with you. We're going to do, I suppose, what we're going to go back to Emma Stark and say, would you like to support me now, Emma? So there's going to be a bit of kind of like support raising that we'll do. We'll move out of the manse, so we'll have to find a house. So if anyone has some money that they want to invest in the house on a shared equity basis, Diane and I would like to have a wee chat with you about that. We don't really know how that's going to work. We might have to rent. We don't really know. We're staying in Glasgow. That's the important thing. The other implications, though, for us are that my role is also tied to the congregational leader's role. And so Stephen and Helen will also finish and leave at the same time as I do. So at the end of August, we are moving on. And now would be a good time to say, see the guys that have just become elders. They did know this before we had to come. Okay? This is not a surprise. None of them are sitting around the back kind of going, you're doing what? That's not happening. Okay, so please don't worry about that. So that will be a change, obviously. That'll be a significant change towards the end of August. We'll get time to get used to it, and we'll get time to sort of adjust and sort of make arrangements to see things change. We have, however, made a couple of kind of key arrangements that we've put in place. So the first one is that you need to have a minister from outside who becomes what's called your interim moderator. Basically, it's a person that will lead you through the technical part of actually finding a new minister. They won't necessarily be here a lot. You won't see them in the church necessarily. They'll work with the vacancy committee. So the search team that we've already got will, we hope, transfer over with maybe a few of the elders added into the vacancy team. And they will work with this interim moderator. The person who's agreed to do it is someone called Robert Silver. Some of you might know Robert. He's a minister at Croftfoot. He's a man that's full of the Holy Spirit and loves Jesus. Okay? We got somebody that we know gets us, loves us, is going to understand us, and is going to advocate for us within the system. So we're confident that, you know, that he will do that. But the other person who happens to be here today is your kind of locum, and that's the person who basically will do the pastor work and do a bit of preaching, and that's Deborah Chestnut, and she's right here. So, and her lovely husband Brian, who's supporting her. So lovely to see you guys. So Deborah takes on, I suppose, she'll work alongside the elders to care for the church, to support all of us. It's quite a pastoral role, but it's also a bit of teaching, and it's a bit of kind of like just coordinating a few things, and so that'll be part of it as well. And I suppose that's probably the news. I'm not really sure what else to say other than, I know there are a few other things to say. So there will be questions. I'm sure you have questions. I'm quite happy to stop and answer questions if you really want me to just now, or I'm happy to kind of answer them another time. Is there anything, are there any burning questions or anything that kind of like people kind of want that I haven't covered that you think, oh, be good to know about that? Okay, you can ask me later on. So I suppose the last thing that I want to sort of say is just, you know, I love you. You know that I love you. You know that I love you. And I know that you love me. And I know that you love Diane and the boys and Pina. And we are so grateful for this. And we'll get a chance to say goodbye. We're not doing that just now. This is not goodbye. This is just a thing that the Lord has spoken, and we're trying to be faithful. This is what we believe God's called us to. But what we want you to know is this, that you know, we have every confidence that you are going to flourish. We have every confidence that you are going to grow. We've got every confidence that you're going to find just a new rhythm is going to kick in, and you're going to push forward. And it's not going to be, and let me just say this, it's not going to be because you get a new minister. It's because actually what will happen is that space will be made by Diane and I and by Stephen and Helen. And in the space, what will happen is you will just rise up and be able to flourish. And you'll have space to be able to be yourself and to do your stuff, and you will be brilliant at it. We're confident of that, okay? We really are. And it's, yeah. And I suppose the last thing that I want to say about this story is this. I think that David was right. I actually think that David was right. David said, it's time for you, Dad, and it's time for them as well. And actually, as I've reflected on it over the last sort of 6 months, I have come to the point where I've kind of thought, actually, this stuff's been bubbling up in me for years, you've seen it. And actually, it's time to do, the church needs change. The Scottish church needs change, and it needs people that are willing to say, you know, come on, we believe that God can actually do this. So that's what it's for me. But for you, it means, it really is about, I think that you need leaders who love you, who are focused on this community, this congregation, and who are going to make an impact here. And for the last few years, that's not been me. It's not really been us. You know, that's not really been our thing. And so I think Dave's right. I think you will actually really benefit from having your own minister who's like here, and this is the thing that they do. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you with that. Let me just, I'm going to bring a little word from the scriptures as well. So if you want to, I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 3. It's just going to be a couple of minutes of reading the word, and then just a couple of reflections for us as we begin to kind of process the news. So Joshua chapter 3 is about crossing the Jordan. It says this: early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving order to the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have not been this way before. But keep a distance of 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And Joshua then said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of the Israelites, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan water, go and stand in the river." And Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." And he then sort of talks about various things, but basically talks about how they're going to cross over. So verses 3 and 4 are about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is the representation of the presence of God. Okay? So what I want to sort of say is this. Follow God. Follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. He is here. He is here in the midst of this thing. Do not get distracted by me, you, them, this, any of that stuff. Follow the Lord. The Lord's presence is here. Follow the Lord. That's the first thing that I want to sort of say to you. God has spoken over and over and over again, and if you listen and are obedient, he will bless you, and he will allow you to continue to experience some of the great things, and more so than that he's already done. Then the second thing is this. It says in verse 5, consecrate yourself. This is a holy journey of transition that you are going through. It is you're moving from one thing to another, and it is so important for you to understand this thing, that actually that you've not been this way before, and you need to press into your relationship with God. You need to do that, and you need to do that because, first of all, it's not going to be business as usual. It's not the same as it was before, and you need to actually up the ante in terms of your own connection with God. You need to do that because as you do that, you will pray more. As you do that, you will listen for the word of God more. As you do that, you will work for unity amongst the fellowship more. As you do that, you will actually you will be bold in being obedient to the things that God is calling you to. So there is a process of consecration that I would want to call us into, a season of saying, I am going to go deeper with God. I'm going to go deeper with him. Because actually, this is not just going to be business as usual. We need to up our ante spiritually. And not all of us, each and every one of us. And then what it talks about is this. Joshua is encouraging the Israelites to come together. And I want to encourage you to continue to gather together. You know, do not, especially we're about to land in the summer holidays, do not say, oh, everything's changing, I'm not very sure, and step away. You could do that. And I'll tell you now what's going to happen. There is a winnowing process that's about to happen. Winnowing is where some things are blown away, and for some of you that might be your experience. You might get blown into new places, new churches, new situations. But for some of you, that's what's going to happen is you are going to land, and you are going to say, this is my church, and I am in now, and I'm not going to sit on the edge. This is my fellowship, and I'm part of this, and I'm going to build for the future. And I want to encourage particularly those of you who sense that, because it might be a time, God moves folks on. That's part of what's going on with me. It might be that some of you do feel that it's time to move. That's actually okay. Do it well, is all I would sort of say. Do it well. Don't just disappear. Do it well. Sort of say, I'm sensing that God's coming, and then that's fine. It's not a problem about moving on, but do it well. But those of you who are called to be here, it's time for you to gather together, to dig deeper, to commit yourself to actually doing this. And then the last part of this story, which I didn't read, but actually is the story of how God does the kind of stops the Jordan and the people go across. He does a miraculous thing. This was a place where God has promised, yes, you know, that we're the child of miracles. You know, it's there on our banner. It's going to happen. And actually, I want to encourage you not to take the foot, you know, don't take your foot off the accelerator in terms of the things of God, okay? It's really easy to do that in the midst of kind of like thinking about another minister and what we're going to do and all that kind of stuff. But actually, I've been saying to the guys as we've been kind of talking to them about being elders, you know, I said to them, if you wait until a minister comes, you know, I will be back at you, because, and I will come and visit you, and I'll sort you out, basically. It's not about that. Do not take your foot off the accelerator of the things of God. Do not do that. God is able, in the midst of transition, to do miraculous things. And actually, it's only if you keep your foot on the accelerator that God will actually kind of be able to get you to where you need to be. It's part of who we are, okay? So, follow the Lord, you know, keep him in mind. The fact that, and he'll lead you, you know, to a place you've not been this way before. He will lead you. He will lead you, okay? Follow the Lord. Consecrate yourself. Gather together and do not take your foot off the accelerator. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask now for you to come and to be here in the midst of us in a way that is so tangible to us. Father, I want to ask in particular for your peace to reign and to rule in our hearts and in our minds. We welcome you to do that now. Father, I ask for revelation to increase amongst each one of us so that we would hear and understand the things of God, so that we would be able to say, yeah, God is saying do this or do that, go here, come here and do this. Increase at the provision, Lord God. And even now, Lord, I pray, would you now speak in the Spirit to the person that is to be the new minister of this church. And I call them now in the Spirit to come and to serve. I call them now to have visions and dreams and visitations and prophetic words and just that they, like Paul in the dream with the Macedonian man, that they would see people from this congregation in their dreams calling to them and saying, come over and help us. Lord, would you provide the new person that's to lead in this place? And Lord, I pray for faith to rise. I ask, Lord God, that faith would arise in this place, that actually we would not take our foot off the accelerator, but we would press forward into all that you have for us. Lord, let hope arise that an amazing future lies in front of us, just as it did with the people that were going across into the promised land. Lord, there is so much more ahead of us. So let faith and hope and love arise. Lord, would you increase our love for yourself, but would you also increase our love for one another and for those who do not know you yet? So, Lord, we pray you would be glorified in all that happens now. For we ask it in Jesus' name.